Welcome back to the short episodes of Musing of a Book Collector. Back in 2008, I wrote a post on this forum blog titled Initial Bibliography of Important Haggadah Literature. This was a collection of material to be aware of or to learn from, learn through, preparing for the Leila Seder. Over the years, I've written some other articles focusing on some Haggadahs in more in-depth, particular Haggadahs, or some in Haggim of the Leila Seder. Now, a few years ago, I devoted a podcast on All Daf, All Torah, to the bibliography, updating what I wrote in 2008. This was a more oral speech that I gave a few years ago. Today, I hope to talk about a few new Haggadahs that were published this year. Along the way, I'll mention some other Svarim briefly. Now, two introductions, which I'll mention at the outset, which are important for this topic. Whenever I talk about this type of topic, I like to mention. Number one, it's good to keep in mind the comments of the Shevet Musar, who writes about Svarim in general. He writes as follows. They learn something and it doesn't have any effect on them. It's somewhere else. And then they do enjoy it. And then you can have someone else. He learns something in a different sefer. In a time, ketama sefer shloi tam chaver. Bekitzer, there's different tastes of svarim and different types of Torah. Each person's taste of a sefer could be different, and the reason has to do with some type of connection with the author of the sefer and the person. Okay, this is, I guess, some type of Kabbalistic thing, but it's not only Kabbalistic. It's true. You see it amongst people, and especially, you couldn't emphasize it more when you talk about the Haggadahs of Pesach, the amount that they're out there, there's so many styles, and continuing to be published literally as we speak. Haggadahs are still coming out for the next few days, for sure. So one guy will tell you he likes this, one guy will tell you that. Okay, fine. Another point, in general, I always like to mention at the outset is about like this. There's no topic which has been as popular or chaviv or whatever word you want to use the most in Jewish literature as the Haggadah Shel Pesach. There are all kinds, in all languages, with all types of perushim, with pictures. Whatever style one can think of, not one, but many Haggadahs have already been written and are going to be written probably. Whether it's Drush, Kabbalah, Halacha, Musar, Hasidus, there are plenty of Haggadahs out there. There are also people who specialize in collecting Haggadahs, although they do not regularly collect Svarim. In almost every Jewish house today, one can find many types of Haggadahs. The obvious question always is how many Haggadahs are there? In 1901, a bibliographer, Shmuel Wiener, he started to collect and list all the different Haggadahs that he saw. Later on, the famous bibliographer Avram Yari put out a work where he started to list them, and his list in 1960 got to 2,700 Haggadahs. Now, he was careful to, I think pretty much he only listed ones that he saw, and then from then on, comments came in from different bibliographers from that who saw in different collections, and the number kept on going up. This was only until 1960. In 1997, so we're talking a nice chunk of years later, 37 years later, the great bibliographer Yitzhak Yudeloff put out a work also where he lists the Theosaurus with all about the Haggadahs, and he also, his cutoff point was 1960. His final number that he listed was 4,715. Of course, since 1960, there have been many more printed, especially because printing is much easier than those years, and every year people print new Haggadahs. Even people who have never written on the Haggadah have had Haggadah published under their name based on collecting from their writings or in general or material. Then they cut and paste it and put it to the Haggadah. We'll see about that today. When one goes to this farm store before Pesach, it has become a minig mamish to buy at least one Haggadah. Of course, one finds himself overwhelmed, not knowing which one to pick. In a conversation that I just had a few hours ago with the legendary Meicher Svarim, Aaron Biegeleisen, he said to me he does not remember a year with such an explosion of Haggadahs for a very long time. Every day or every few days, another big Haggadah comes out that everyone's going crazy for to get, and we still have over a week before Pesach, who knows what's going to be. But basically, lots of Haggadahs have come out this year and will still be coming out. Now, for this episode, and as we have a limited amount of time, and I didn't see all the Haggadahs that are out there, I'm going to focus on four Haggadahs that have come out, four being the big theme of Pesach night. as we all know. Number one, this is called Hagal Shel Pesach Meshiv Nefesh, and it comes with the Pirish of the Eitz Yosef and Naf Yosef. Okay, this is a Haggadah. The author was Reb Chanoich Zundel of Bialystok, who dies in 1860. The Haggadah was published only once, back in 1843, Pshat-oriented Haggadah, from the author of the, this parish is Eitz Yosef Anaf Yosef, and anyone familiar, you for sure have come across him. He has written 24 works, it's listed out, all relating to Medrash and the like, with this name, where he's a very Pshat-oriented Parshan, where he explains a lot going on in the Midrashim, published in many, many different places. So he also wrote such a work on the Haggadah. Lamashal, looking at this work, it's published the first time in 1843. It's one of the earliest sources that brings from the Gra in Ma'aser Av that was only published a few short years before back. He quotes from the Chemnitz Yamim. Now, in recent years, there's not only was he prolific in his lifetime, but there's been an explosion of new work being done to him. Number one, he's very famous for writing in the famous Aitzra Tfilos, one of the most basic, comprehensive Perushim on Tfila, which, for Pshat, so many, many libraries, personal libraries, everyone, it's one of the go-to svarim, so to speak, on davening. So one of the main Perushim in the work, Aitzra Tfilos, is from him, called Anaf Yosef Eitz Yosef. Now, there's actually some other Perushim of his also in the Siddur, and they published it long after he died. When the Eitz HaTfilos came out, they published it for the first time from manuscript. So in recent years, they discovered a manuscript that has more material of that work called Arugas HaBaisim, and in 2021, that was published from Mechon Sifsei Chachamim, I think it's called. Now, two massive volumes on Tefillah, and what it is it has Perushim on all of davening, and Yom Tov davening also. Sisei Chacham is the name of the Mechon, this is published manuscript, and it's different than from the Eitz HaTfilos. Now, the Eitz HaTfilos was also just maybe a little more than a year ago, a beautiful, beautiful new edition was published of this work. And this fellow put out two massive volumes. It sold out instantly. It was republished already. And so this fellow, he's the person behind putting out the Haggadah Shel Pesach of Reb Chanoich Zundel of Bialystok. Okay. So number one is that he's a Likut. He says that straight up in his Akdama even. So this fellow in this edition went out of his way, in this new edition that just I'm talking about now, he went to track down the Perushin that Reb Chanoich Zundel used throughout his work, and he gives you clear Makairis for everything in the Haggadah. It must have been a lot of work to figure out everything, but interestingly enough, in the Hagdama, besides the Rishonim or the famous Haggadahs that the Reb Chanoich used, this editor points to that four other Haggadahs that I do not recall really ever being seen, quoted, that was a source for Reb Chanoich. What are they? One is called Haggadah Shel Pesach Sfas Hayam, one is Gulas Olam, one is Yir Leinayim, and one is Pesach Beis Yisrael with the Perushim Pesach Abayis, Chidur Abayis, Amud Abayis. Now, all these Haggadahs were published in the starting from 1794 and onwards. And as I said, he dies in 1843. Now, what I would recommend always is that people always ask, you know, is the Haggadah worthy to publish? So here you have four Haggadahs. I have not seen, maybe one of them was published by Copy Corner or something, which did not have a wide, wasn't published widely. You have to get a custom made pretty much. Okay, they're on Hebrew books, but there's four Haggadahs listed out in this fellow's introduction that was the source for Chanoich Zundel. It's probably worthwhile to check into them and perhaps republish them, as every year people are always looking for some new old Haggadah. Okay, now just to conclude talking about this Haggadah, you always have to have something new. So besides for making that this Haggadah, which has not been available for, you know, almost 200 years, we're talking about 180 years, whatever it is. So he found that there's a manuscript, because there are other manuscripts of this Rabbi Yosef, this Chanoich Zundel, which we just said, we mentioned one of them was published in 2021. So there's a Yalkut, he calls it Yalkut Golos V'Yitzias Mitzrayim, where he's Malachi from all different Makairis, all about the topic of Golos and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Who's the Malakit? The Malakit is Rabbi Chanoich Zundel, and this was never published. The first time it's being published is this year. Now, what is Reb Chanoich Zundel writes in the Shar of the Ksav Yad, which is it's over 100 pages being published. He writes that He collected from where? Zoyar, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Tanhuma, Shachatoiv, Tanit Belio, Turgumin, Turgum Yonison, Yerushalmi, Yalkut Shmaini, all these different places. Sefer HaYashar, the famous Sefer HaYashar, that has, which is his own discussion, which we'll get to, Mirza Shemon, episodes of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Mechilta, Targum de Reb Yosef, also a fascinating Makar that he's using it, Psikter Abasi, and some other Makaris that he's Malakit from them, and he has a parish on some of these things. So when he brings down the various texts. So this is one work that I would like to mention, highlight, so to speak. Here we have written by the a work, Haggadah, that was not available for many years. I mean, yes, it's on Hebrew books. Try reading the fonts. And this fellow did a great job working, putting it out very nicely, and also including new material. Okay, that's Haggadah number one. Number two. So I mentioned that sometimes as a Gadol, he does not write a work on Leil HaSeder, but someone goes ahead and does it for him. Now, this happens every year, and sometimes they're flops, literally. They could be embarrassments to the Gadol. I'm not going to list out such Haggadahs, and sometimes they are, I feel, a covered nifla for the Gadol. Okay, one such Haggadah means sometimes they're gimmicks, literally. They rely on you. You're going to look at the picture, and then you're going to buy it, and some people go home, and they're so let down. Okay, anyway, this year, one such Haggadah, which I would say it's a remarkable Haggadah, put together, is from, it's called Tferes Yosef, the material of Rabbi Yosef Engel. It's 603 pages, and they did a beautiful job. Now, who are these people? What's the story behind it? So, in brief, it's like this. Rabbi Yosef Engel, one of the great, great special gedolim, born in 1858, dies in 1920. He's prolific. He wrote well over 100 svarim, but only 17 or something close to that number survived and were published. Some in his lifetime, some not in his lifetime. And many people were into it over the years. He was a Galitzianer. So there was Galitzianer people were into him. Polish people also had appreciation to him. Hasidim, because of his possible ties with Hasidus. And plenty of other people were into him. But to the extent of how much people were into him is not for the focus of today. But people were into him. He was a very known Goyin, and especially through his writings. Now, I remember many years ago, one Friday, we saw a sign up that there's going to be some Yusvarim and some Machsan in Williamsburg, and we went, and I found a sefer called Sheris Yosef, which was Rabbi Yosef Engel on Masechtas Kedushin. Okay, say that. That's a simcha. I never knew about it. But the greater simcha was that in the back, the Rabbi Yosef Engel's Einikel wrote something like 50-something pages about his what he saw by his grandfather, Rabbi Yosef Engel. And that was such an amazing metziah. We're talking about before Hebrew books, and we're talking about before Etzach Chachma, and it was incredible. It was such an eye-opener to see someone who knew him well, what he saw, what he describes about his grandfather. It was amazing, one of the amazing finds of mine back in the day. Now, fast forward a few years later, I come across that someone, it's about 2004, they start to print, they call themselves Mechon Oyevei Taira, and they published, called Tferes Yosef Al Taira. What did they put out a volume Bereshis. So what did they do? Now, you have to understand, many people were into Rabbi Yosef Engel's Svarim. It was many different Svarim. I'm not going to go into them right now. But they did something fascinating. And that is as follows. Rabbi Yosef Engel, so just to backtrack for a second, in recent years, I'd just like to throw this out to you once we're talking about him. So recent years, there has been an awakening about him. Besides this Mechon, which I'm going to talk more about what he did for this Haggadah and what he did Bechlau, they even have a Parsha sheet that comes out weekly, which one could sign up and get for free. Fascinating material of Rabbi Yosef Engel that the Malacca from the Svarim. And just recently, a few months ago, I think it was, Asaf Brown put out a beautiful article where he deals with Rabbi Yosef Engel, something like close to 46 pages, something like that. And I have come across a while ago, a Reb David Markel put out in English a big study on Rabbi Yosef Engel, also has some valuable information. And Rabbi Yosef Engel, as I said, was a guy who doesn't need anything, doesn't need my haskamas, chas v'shalom. Reb Zevin, my hero in Sefer Misvarim, has an excellent essay where he talks about his Gilyoni HaShas. And just to quote one thing, because I always find that there's many nekudas behind this nekuda that I'm about to say, but I'm not going to go into them, just to quote it. Professor Shlomo Zalman Hevelin described that one time in a conversation with Shaul Lieberman, basically it came up about Rabbi Yosef Engel. And the question was, what does he hold about the Svarim of Rabbi Yosef Engel? He said, He said, because they say, okay, he's not someone to achrayim, and he said, Eich yitachin, this is what Shaul Lieberman said, Eich yitachin asik b'mektsaya b'loy sifrei hagayin Rav Yosef Engel. You need to have them at hand when you're working on a topic. I remember hearing that and made a tremendous reshim on me also. I'm reading that, and Hevelin quotes it, and it's now in his Maseres HaTorah Shebaal Peh, Chelek Gimel, middle of one of his attacks on Benny Brown about the Chazon Ish book. But anyway, back to the story over here is as follows. So what did they do in this 2004 work, and they continue till today? It's like this. With amazing skill, I guess the head of the project is Rabbi Friedman. I don't know if he does all the work, but they piece together everything. Rabbi Yosef Engel, anyone who reads his stuff, has a tremendous bekiyus in all areas of Torah and Chazal, including Yerushalmi. He knows Kabbalah, everything. Nothing escapes him. Not only that, he has an incredible perspective on everything going on with a deep understanding, and he brings proofs for what he says all over. Sometimes he'll bring something he wrote in a different sefer. Sometimes we have it. Sometimes we don't have it. But many times we do. But he doesn't tell you exactly what it is, or sometimes he doesn't even tell you that elsewhere he explained it more. So what they did was they put it out beautifully. Is they collected the material. They somehow tied whatever was relevant to the parasha. How they do it with beautiful fonts, with ha'aris, with putting in all the different pieces. A lot of times afterwards, a few lines are now, they keep it to Rabbi Yosef Engel's language and everything that he wrote from the different places. So it's not like they're rewriting Rabbi Yosef Engel on the top and of the text and telling you this is what he meant or anything like that. They're not tampering with him QZ, just by of Rabbi Yosef Engel's Torah, they put it together beautifully. So what happens is you have a very organized, clear, a lot of times, Rabbi Yosef Engel's material in an easy manner. This is what they did for Al Torah. So far, they've only published Bereishis and two volumes in Shemais. I wish they would continue with the project on Al Torah, but instead they got sidetracked. And sidetracked means is they decide to put out the other works of Rabbi Yosef Engel, which have not been available. These works, they do produce them beautifully with footnotes and stuff, but much less than the work that they've been doing Al Torah. So now, for the Haggadah Shel Pesach, they did back to their similar work that they did Al Torah, tons of footnotes, cross-referencing with Rabbi Yosef Engel elsewhere, and I don't even know how much time it took them, how they were able to put this together, because it's not like, okay, in the middle of some Lamedisha piece, he's going to talk about Halach Manya. So there was a Chachma Nifla, how they have to be holding in Rabbi Yosef Engel's massive amount of material that we do have. Sadly, we, as I mentioned, a lot was lost. Put it together, put it in the right places, beautifully done, beautifully produced, easy to read on the eye, so to speak. I'm not saying it's a light read. It's definitely not a light read, because as I said, there's a lot happening here. There's halacha, there's kabbalah, all different things going on. So this is a beautiful, beautiful haggadah, worth its weight in gold. I don't know if I said that expression right, but anyway, they also have material from his relating to Kitnius, a tshuva that was published elsewhere in a tshuva Menachem Meshev, a Gevaldik tshuva sefer, and they have some material relating to him and different pulmosim relating to Kashrus and the introduction, so you get some historical aspects of Rabbi Yosef Engel, and we still hope that they'll continue and publish more with their other works, but this is a beautiful, beautiful Haggadah for if you're interested in that kind of learning. And as I think I mentioned, I just received the email last night that they're ready in the third printing this year alone, that was just released. And just to quote one nekuda from this article, he describes the Leil HaSeder by Rabbi Yosef Engel. He says, Misha loy ra'as Rabbi Yosef Engel yoshef mesubim b'shas HaSeder shel Chag HaPesach, did not see Isha Hamruba Kolka. He was so happy, he was sitting kemelech, that got back to his malchus, and he yamanik benedivas ruach esimchas livavoy livnei mishpachtoy mesuvin al shulchanoy. Bekitzer, he used to sing the Haggadah in a special niggin. Bekitzer was very, there was a aisha ruchnia yishar b'meshach kol haseder, and everyone felt it, and every year was like that, and every word when the Haggadah was said, you felt this. So here, Bekitzer, you with this Haggadah, one could have insight into the Torah of Rabbi Yosef Engel connected to the Leil HaSeder. Okay, so this is a second type of Haggadah that comes out from year to year. Some, as I said, sometimes they're flops, sometimes they're very successful. In my eyes, this is a very successful job. Okay, the third Haggadah I would like to talk about is a Mechaber, who's Malakid, who puts out Haggadah, and every year you'll find different people, they have some new angle that of their own, either their own Torah, of how to present their own Torah. Sometimes they're very successful, and sometimes they're not. This Haggadah that I would like to mention is called Haggadah Shel Pesach Shailim V'Darshan. In my mind, this Haggadah is also a very, very nice Haggadah. Again, only if you're into that type of thing. Who is this Haggadah from? His name is Chanoich Toibes, a Rav in Bnei Brak. He's famous for a set of Svarim that he's produced, the paperbacks, but they're very popular, called Seifa Vesara, where he so far released 5 volumes, where he picks a topic of controversy in Jewish history in the past 1,000 years, and he'll go through the topic. In the beginning, he'll have a historical overview, but then he focuses on the sugyas, you say, what the tshuvas of the Achrayim or Rishayim, whatever is about, what the issues were. So it's alert, you get a historical background to the particular pulmas, and the halachic aspects behind it. So it's not a light read, but it's an enjoyable read. So that's what he's famous for. Now, recently he published a work called Halacha Minig Darkei Shmuel, as a Miluim to a calendar that he puts out, where basically he picked throughout the year some interesting halachic topics, sweet, 5-6 pages of most of the entries. Some of them are exotic topics, some less exotic, but they're very nicely written, organized, clear, on a wide range of topics. So he took that type of style and he went to the Leil HaSeder. And he has the Haggadah is composed of 3 parts. Part number one is he has Haggadah with a lot of halachadika, small pieces of halacha throughout the Haggadah, halacha-oriented, a nice piece from someone, a story, okay. But the main focus and the motivation behind the Haggadah was, he said he found himself in situations, a lot of times the Leil HaSeder, Shaila comes up, and it's not an open Mishnah Berurah, and he didn't know what to do, and he started looking, whatever. So he started to think of different questions that might come up at a Seder that one doesn't have time to look into, so it should be accessible, easy to look at, and because you don't have the time to do the research. You don't have your Itzah Chachma open, or your Bar Ilan, or your Google, or whatever it is, and you can't ask a Rav either. So he came up with 50 such topics. Now, obviously, I don't know if you're going to be holding it at the Seder and everything. The point is a Rav, or even a person interested in Halacha, these are fascinating write-ups on 50 different topics related to the Seder. For example, let's say someone forgot to eat Afikayman in your bench. What do you do? So he has a whole nice write-up. It deals with it's set up, it's organized nicely. It brings the main Makairis. Again, he's not trying to write an encyclopedia, 50 pages about each one of these topics, but they're well-written, organized, with the main Paiskim very clear, looking up the early sources, very, very nicely done. Lashal Sheva Brachas, which is more common than we realize. Someone got married right before Pesach, and the Sheva Brachas, a whole big discussion about it in the Paiskim. It's another chapter, and there's a bunch of chapters. And then another section in the book is he goes through the Simanim, the Kadesh Orchat Simanim, and each one he breaks down and brings you some of the fascinating Shilas that everyone knows or wonders about, or already if you do the Seder enough, or have been at a Seder numerous times, you'll know what we do. But he talks about with all the various Makairis about it, also very well written. So for a Rav, obviously, it's great, or someone who's into Halacha, it's great, it's written nicely, and something different. But as I said, halacha Haggadahs and halacha svarim that come out in the Leil HaSeder and Pesach Bechlal is endless. But I think this person, he presents the material very, very well. Okay, so that's a second Haggadah. That's the third Haggadah that I would like to mention. It's 464 pages. Okay. Now, the last Haggadah is Haggadah, which is, there's also an explosion of Haggadahs that every year comes out, and every year the Haggadahs in this genre also fight to be who's the, they don't fight, but the publishers and the people, whatever, to get that Haggadah should be the Haggadah, and that's in the English language, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael, there's a very big audience of people that read only in English, or they rather read in English. So Haggadahs in English also is an explosion of Haggadahs that come out. And that I have no clue about most of the time what comes out in the Haggadahs of the English world. I see the advertisements, but I don't really follow it. Ein l'davar seif. But this year, and I'm saying this in the outcome of what I'm about to say, is that I had a strong connection with the Haggadah in English that came out. So this is not an advertisement. This is musings of a book collector. I'm going to talk about the Haggadah, about the project, because as an insider, and to give you, the listener, if you're interested, to know a little bit about an interesting Haggadah in the English language. Now, eventually, it will come out. A version of this is planned to come out in Hebrew with updates, corrections, and more, but that is only in the works right now. It's not out yet. So, for now, there's this English volume. So, what's it called, first? It's called the Vigadata Levincha Legacy Haggadah, the Fisher Family Edition, Insights from Gedolim, whose Torah is their legacy, Rav Moshe Habner. Okay, so obviously you're wondering, what am I talking about? Insights from Gedolim, whose Torah is their legacy. All Gedolim, their Torah is their legacy. So you have to open up the book immediately. And right away, before the Shaar Blot, it says exactly what's going on. It says as follows. The legacy Haggadah was created to honor and share the wisdom of some of our revered Gedolim, who for reasons known only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, were not zeicha to have children as their legacies. These Gedolim spanned continents and generations. So by bringing their timeless Divrei Torah to life, we create a powerful connection to the past, thereby bringing forth untold zechuyos. Some of the Gedolim include this in this masterful publication, the Zarah Shimshon, Sava Kadisha, Remeir Shapiro, the Eish Kodesh, the Satmar Rav, the Yismach Yisrael, and the Chazanish, zechusam yogein aleinu. It concludes, invite them to your home and your table. Speak their words of Torah at your Seder. Be their child, thus allowing them to advocate on your behalf as a parent would. Okay, and this is produced, as I said, by Ramesha Havner. So now, I am going to talk a little bit about this Haggadah. What is in this Haggadah? What's it about? What makes it unique? And give you some inside information, so to speak, about it. Okay, now, anyone who never published a Sefer does not understand why people who do publish a Sefer, write a Sefer, call it, it's mamish like a pregnancy. Chevle Leda of it is unbelievable. It's not a Chevle Leda of a few hours or many hours sometimes, or difficult because it's 9 months. And sometimes we know that there are sources, my friend Yaakov Stahl wrote about this many years ago, there are Makairis that have pregnancies that last much longer than 9 months. So that sometimes authors could feel like that also when they have a Sefer. Now, first part of a Sefer, so this could not be, this is also very true with this type of project. First, you first have to come up with an idea when you come up with a project. You have an idea. But, as a different friend of mine has told me in the past, that a lot of times, he's a prolific writer, and a lot of times people come over to him and say, you know, I also have a great name for a Sefer, but that's all I have, nothing past the name. So now, my friend, the person behind this whole project to do most of the work, whatever you want to call it, his name is Rabbi Moshe Havner, who he is, we'll get to shortly. He's prolific in both English and Hebrew. And he came up with this idea. What the idea is, even though I mentioned already a little bit, we'll elaborate more. Recently, there was an interview with him on the famous podcast from Nachi Weinstein of Svarim Chatter. And what's very important in these days, you're supposed to get shout-outs. So he got shout-outs from the great Torah influencers that have a tremendous hashpa on thousands and thousands of Yidden all over the world. Both Rabbi Srili Bornstein and Rabbi Eli Stefanski, they both gave shout-outs to the Sefer in their recent Daf Yomi Shiurim. And the Mishpacha had a little bit about it. The Modiyah had a little bit about it. The Yatet had a little bit about it. So there's a lot about the Sefer. Now, since I had a personal connection with the Sefer from the beginning until the end, so I'm going to talk a little bit about it. Okay, now, the first thing one has to know whenever you have a big project, you could have a great, great idea, and you could even have the title, not like the guy that just has the title, but it's not so simple without funding. So you need to have funding. So over here, I'm going to quote the language of Rabbi Havner in the introduction, and I cannot, without these following words and this person, the whole thing would not have been able to happen. He writes as follows, I cannot express the enormous gratitude that I, along with the entire Zera Emes project, that's how he calls this project, Rabbi Havner, have towards Rabbi Laser and Devairi Fisher of Lakewood, the main supporters of the Sefer. Without them, we would not be at this groundbreaking point of going to print with our first volume. It is due to their unparalleled generosity that we have reached this milestone. Hashem should continue to reward them by granting them many more opportunities to fulfill many more mitzvahs, creating unlimited Torah learning and Kiddush Hashem. So being that I was involved with this and worked on it, so I had a lot of hanah. I also have to give them, I have to give the Fisher family a tremendous hakaras hatayv by supporting this massive project. Now, so you'll ask, why does it need so much money? Or whatever the amount of money, you have no idea what the amount is. But as follows. First, not only do you need money, you need a shadchan to help find you that guy. So we have to throw out there, there's a shadchan in general, he's a very big shadchan in Lakewood, Sada Katz, very close friend of Rabbi Havner. He somehow got this Rabbi Fisher and Rabbi Havner to join forces together. Okay, but that's not enough. You need to have a team of people. Especially if you want to go to publish at a certain point in time with Pesach and you decide a few months ago that you want to have it out for this year Pesach, makes it even harder. So you have to gather around the team. Team means you have to hire people. And even if you pay as little as people who have no clue about this type of stuff think the writers and editors should be getting paid or get paid, and it takes 3 minutes to publish or write or edit. But sadly, it does rack up. The money does add up, and it costs much more to publish something. If you want, you could just ask ArtScroll or any other big publishing house how expensive it is to put out a proper work with all the different aspects that it entails. Now, over here, just to mention some of those aspects. So, number one is, when you produce a work of this sort, you need to have people to help you. What does that mean? For example, you have to find the Torah. So, another thing you have to do is you have to find proper editors. An important aspect is to find the history of the people. Graphics, what I mean graphics, is first of all, there's a lot happening on the page. When someone opens up a sample page of this Haggadah, which can be found on, I think, the Zera Emes website, if I'm not mistaken, it's www.zeraemes.com, and there one can see pages, sample pages, and information about it, and the haskamas that they got, which is also basic. You got to get haskamas to the Gedolim. You have to have different people reach out to you from different people. And this Haggadah has pictures, Lamashal. So one of the things early on, we realized you need to have good pictures of the Gedolim, those that are available. Some of them are before pictures, so you can't have pictures of them, obviously. At one point, the famous collector of Gedolim pictures in my day, back in the day, I used to collect Gedolim pictures, was Moshe Yarmish. Somehow he got involved in the project, and there are beautiful pictures from his collection that he gave of certain Gedolim. The typesetter had to do, first you have to put up with all the mishigasin and all the different things and the editing and nonstop working around the clock, Yocheved Herzog. And she did a beautiful job with her team of people producing it. I think it's called Thinking Creations or something like that. She had to put up with Habner and others with this whole project. And Baruch Hashem, she was able to produce a beautiful work. Now, what that means, I'm still keeping in the dark. Just hold on a little bit longer. You got to find interesting material. You got to make sure that the people that you found, Taka, don't have children. Sometimes people say they don't have children, and it turns out with research, they did have children, so you can't print them, obviously. What type of audience is your Haggadah or work or Sefer going to be for? Who is it geared to? In this case, the goal was to have it reach as many types of people with as many types of backgrounds. Men, women, children, of all types, learned, less learned. So you need to have all types of type of Torah. You can have a lumdish or piece of Torah, but you can also have stories. So all this, you have to reach out to different people that have different expertise. You want to find good stories, interesting stories, unknown stories. Okay, this is also basic. One Rav actually told Habner, he's very fond of quoting this already a bunch of times, that he should really buy two Haggadahs of this type, one for the all year round, because there's so much material. At the Leila Seder, anyway, I don't know that people read a Haggadah, but you prepare, and it's a very beginning to prepare. There's a lot of sources about that. But there's a famous Netziv I love to quote that says that you should really, Pesach is 7 days long, you should be Isaac all of Pesach talking about Mitzrayim and all the Nesim. So you should really be looking at Haggadah all of Pesach. So this Haggadah has material that one could read all of Pesach. Okay. Also, another important thing is, if someone says, don't ever judge a book by its cover, they have no clue, they never were involved in selling books, this book, the cover is also beautiful, and people right away, when they look at the cover, they see it's something unique, and the involvement in the actual publishing was done by friends at Mechon Ali Zayed. Bekitzer, there's many, many different steps to getting out of Sefer. I just listed some of them, there's many more. And a lot of times things go wrong, and plenty of things go wrong, and then there's the deadline, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now, let me backtrack with all that tangent, backtrack to the story of this project. The leader, for lack of a better term, is a man named Rav Moshe Habner. He's a Rav, currently he was a rabbi, he taught in high schools, and he's delivered hundreds, if not thousands, of shiurim in the past 20 years. He's also prolific. He likes to write. So he's published in Hebrew and in English svarim of a wide range of topics. One of the things that stands out, I would say, in a lot that he's written and published is he likes to draw from a wide range of material, many times obscure and forgotten. Some of the works he's published are actually works of people that were forgotten about over time. His sources that he uses is all types. He likes drush, he likes halacha, pshat, side remes. So all this talks to him as a person himself. So he doesn't limit himself to say, oh, he's just a lamdusha guy, he's a yeshivisha guy, he likes yeshivisha Torah, he likes Sephardisha Torah, Hasidisha Torah, Hungarian Torah, Polish Torah, and of course, with his, very proud of his Galatiana roots, so he likes Galatiana Torah. Okay, so he embraces them all. So this is already something important. I would say that this comes from this Nakuda of seeking out exotic sources comes from two influences, maybe more. One is, I know his father very well, Rabbi Ehud Hubner, a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was eichet to learn with him from Bechavrusa for most of his life. And this person also, this Rabbi Hubner, he's also interested in all aspects of Torah, including the holding of the Sefer. He's a unique Talmud Chacham with a vast knowledge of all areas of Torah, who's built an incredible library where one can see the Sfarim, where he likes to look at, sitting there day and night. His love for Torah is unbelievable. Anyone who had the privilege to witness, as I have, even in very late hours visiting there, it's truly special and unique. So this had a tremendous impact on Rabbi Hubner in general. So it's the exotic sources and the appreciation for all these, not your typical stuff. That's number one. Another person was his special brother-in-law, the late Shalom, Rabbi Shalom Jacob, who was an expert and avid collector of all kinds of Torah knowledge. But he did not, and he also did not discriminate between the different types of styles of Torah. Not only that, he also amassed a massive, massive collection of Svarim with the intent to use them, and to share their wisdom with others. Now, not only is it about collecting and learning and being a liking Torah from all different things, there's another nakuda, which is, we know there's a concept of Sfas of Davis Bekever, which there's a Meyerdika Schus of publishing and sharing material of an author, so that an author can continue to have Schusim even after he dies. This is probably behind some of the projects that Rabbi Hubner has been involved with. That's why he specifically looks for Svarim of that did not have so much attention. And he probably got this also from his brother-in-law, Rav Shalom Jacob, who also published numerous works with this concept in mind, seeking out lesser-known gedolim. Now, another nakuda by Rabbi Hubner is to make complicated Torah more accessible. And he's published a few volumes in the Minchas Chinuch series, his great-great-grandfather, the Minchas Chinuch, to make this complex work available for English readers. Now, with all these skills, Rabbi Hubner decided to go to start working on, as he doesn't have enough projects in his hand, to work on another project. That was, I have no idea what made him think of it, but to collect the materials of gedolim that did not merit to have children. Now, some of them had children, but the point was they died in their youth or way before they died, before the gadol died. It's a tremendous chus to publish these Torah because they're less likely to have their Torah published on throughout the generations. Because usually it's your children or that they help get the Torah not become forgotten. So this was all of his interests getting together, so to speak, in the same room, uncovering and sharing obscure, less-known Torah. Okay, sometimes they are famous gedolim, as one sees it, but many of them are more obscure. Delving deeper into this, one could see in the Hagdama from Reuven Margolis, we just devoted an episode on the podcast about Reuven Margolis and his Svarim. So his work, Shem Olam, we mentioned the whole thing where in that Sefer, we find in Chazal many times that it doesn't say the name of, there's a machlokes, and it says Chadam or this and Chadam or that. And somehow Reuven Margolis with crazy Bekiyas figures out who's who. The Munkacher in Haskam about it says it's incredible work, and it seems to be MS, a lot of these chaps. Anyway, so we see there's a Meir de Kazakh of, in Chazal general, of not only Sfas of David Bekever, of also maybe Davar B'Shem Amrei. There's tremendous different aspects behind this. Reuven Margolis deals with this. Maybe Davar, what is maybe Davar B'Shem Amrei, maybe Gula Loilam, what's also about that. So, Bekitzer, all these ideas and concepts are very strong for Rabbi Hubner. Now, so what's this project exactly? So, there's many, many parts. I'm going to say a story that came up in this project, and this is how the project itself got even clearer, and an outsider, after hearing this idea, might be able to understand even better what's Rabbi Hubner trying to do in this whole thing. Simply like this. As I said, it requires a team to do this. So a team member came across a rare sefer published in 1727. And this sefer was mostly a sefer al-Tayra, and back in the sefer, buried, there was a few lines after Hosnida about Karpas. Okay, it was located that this sefer was never reprinted since 1727, and reading the Hagdama, turns out none of his children survived. He had children, but they all died young. He realizes this, and he decides to publish a sefer called Sheiris Yaakov. So there will be something, a sheiris of him left over for Davis Bekever. This is what he writes in his Akdama. Okay. Now, so technically, what's going on is we have a rare piece. A few lines, cryptic lines relating to the meaning of Karpas. So technically, one could do is just take those lines and translate them in English and put them in the Haggadah and Shalom Al Yisrael. Now, what's the big deal? You know, if you just read those lines, you're not even understanding if he's saying a chiddush. Is there a chiddush behind this? Sometimes, some of the pieces, especially, not only this, you don't understand. You can't make heads or tails without having the proper background. What's going on? So, after the initial location of the piece, we realized that it has to be brought out. What is the chiddush of this piece? What, to understand this piece of Torah, whatever the few lines, if there is something going on over here, of this Talmud Chacham. Turns out that I came up with an idea. There's a Yid in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rabbi Yehuda Spitz. And he is a prolific writer, writing in halacha in English. He has a column, an email that comes out often, weekly maybe even. Recently published a book called Food, a Halachic Analysis. A very, very nice book. And so I remember that he wrote a few articles relating to Karpas. So he would be a person that doesn't have to start from scratch to see if there's even a chiddush. He'll see the piece. He'll be able to say, oh, if you're holding the Sugya Karpas, this and this and this. And that's what happened. We had him take the piece, analyze it, give the proper background to bring out the chiddush of this piece for the English reader. And so one step already has happened. So first step is locating this. This is one team member. The second step was that a Talmud Chacham that's holding in the sugya brought out into the English language the chiddush of this piece of Torah on Karpas. So now we have, even further, we have that this Sheiris Yaakov is having a kiyum. A further kiyum that, as I said, from 1727, the sefer has been forgotten about, and now there's a sort of a revival of his Torah. So this is another nekuda in the project. But, and this Rabbi Spitz wrote some other pieces for some other different type of halachic pieces that we located. Some will be published in later volumes, but anyway. So this is a second step in the piece. But then we had, like this, we're looking at the sefer Sheiris Yaakov. Okay, big deal. Who is this person? Who said he's anyone that's worth to spend hours and hours of time figuring out if his Torah is good? So another team member, and this is a full disclosure, that was me, went through the sefer carefully, piecing together the or whatever exists about him, and wrote up a biography about this Mechaber, who he was. And what emerged from this was a fascinating, untold tale from a long, long time ago. The Haskama was from Rabbi Chetzkel Katzenellenbogen, one of the great Gedolim of the time, who knew this author personally. And he writes about him incredible words. And once I saw that, we knew something is up over here. And he says like this, he's Baki B'chol Hashas Mamish Balpeh. So now, if you have Rabbi Yitzchak Katzenellenbogen, one of the Gedolim Yodim of his time, Baal Tshuva's Knesset Yecheskel, recently published by Mechon Zichron Aharon, a beautiful article was originally published by my friend Zvi Lehrer, and then in the Zichron Aharon edition, about the greatness of this great Gadol, a tremendous Paisik for those Isaac in the world of Halacha. So he's giving us come, and he's saying about this Yid that he knows Shas Bal Peh, then you know that he's not out to exaggerate, and etc. Okay, so now it made it even more geschmack for us, because we located a Gadol that was unheard of. And we read his Agdama, we see about his children, how they die. He had a son. His son dies right before his bar mitzvah. The son knew, he writes, he knew 550 blot. Unbelievable. Unbelievable feat for a young boy. But he dies before his bar mitzvah. Okay, whatever. There's more about that. And then we see in the introduction, he writes about himself. What does he say? He says that I learned. Well, basically, what did this person do? He just learned the whole day. At a certain point in time in his life, he was basically making a siyum. He was being Messiah, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Shas, on a yearly basis, being Messiah Tanakh on a monthly basis, Chazring Shulchan Aruch at crazy speeds. We're talking about forgotten about Talmud Chacham, a Yid that sat and learned his whole life. He wasn't a Rav anywhere. So this was a very big, so this was a fascinating find, and this idea, we ended up trying to find materials of this type. So the point is, on multiple levels, to find pieces, material of Torah. So now, many Gedolim, that once you know, oh, he's He didn't have children. They're famous. L'mashal, the Shaul Meshiv. So the Shaul Meshiv didn't have children. So, okay, so you open up the Haggadah Shaul Meshiv, you find some pieces of his that are nice, and you put them down in proper English. Okay, so that's an easier step, assuming you know that the Shaul Meshiv didn't have children. Rebbe from Hagolus, he didn't have children, so he also has Haggadah Shaul Pesach. He has a vast amount of material he could use, but that's easy. But here, the Chashivas was, and the list that Rabbi Hubner created was a huge list of many of the Gedolim that were, the material was even collected for this project, it was edited, it was written, but the project, it was too big. The fear was not to give you a 600-page Haggadah. We, for whatever reasons, it was kept to a certain page number. So many pieces of material, sections, whole sections, were kept for later volumes. Now, but the point is that this story that I'm saying with the Sheiris Yaakov is just one of the many backstories in this Haggadah that you're holding in your hand. Now, already Avram Yari, the famous bibliographer of books in his Sefer Mechkarei Sefer, collected some mechabrim that published svarim for, though they realize they're not going to have children, or in Lamashal you'll see Sheiris Yaakov is a common name. Zera is going to be in the title, which also the famous Zera Emes, he didn't have children, etc., etc. Now, the point is that Rabbi Hubner collected a mass amount of material. A much greater list, and Yari, I don't know if Yari was even trying to collect a complete list, but the point was Yari was trying to show one of the many different types of things that were motivations behind people writing Svarim. Anyway, the point is that over time, the hope is to publish many more volumes, including another volume, Haggadah Shel Pesach, eventually, with all this material. Now, in this Nakuda of this piece of the Sheiris Yaakov, to illustrate it, is which was also part of the theme. It's not enough to find a piece of Torah. It was to bring it out, that the reader in English should be able to understand it. And Svetin's, a second point was to know something about him. So again, we're not talking about to publish on each person a full 20-page essay or even a 10-page essay. A page! Now, sometimes, due to lack of space, it was called snapshots. So that at least almost every person mentions Haggadah to have a few lines. This we brought in for the team of people, an expert, Maishi Dembitzer, who with his expertise, he wrote many of these snapshots. So basically, you're learning the Haggadah. You're going through the Haggadah, and every piece, you'll be able to see the name, and you'll look immediately. There's a picture a lot of times on the page. There's an index in the back, so sometimes the author could be quoted a bunch of times. So maybe the snapshot's not here. It's at a different place in the Haggadah. You look at the snapshot, you'll see who he is. Some of the Gedolim warranted a bigger Hagdama, or a story about them, or something like that. And all this explains why I keep on saying in the beginning the graphics is so important, because it's very hard to place. There's a lot happening on a page. There's the text of the Haggadah. Then you want to have different types of fonts to make it pleasant on the eye. You have to have the snapshots a certain way, the pictures a certain way. Now, another thing was, as I said, the stories. Stories is a lot of times it's through a story of art. It resonates with people. So besides locating the stories, it's how to present the stories and the fonts. I'm going to give an example briefly of one story section in this Haggadah, and then I'm just going to mention a few other highlights very briefly because we're already way over time. Number one. One section in Haggadah, a few pages, is about a Yid, Reb Moshe Tzvi Weintraub. This person, a very chashuv Yid, Talmud of Reb Baruch Ber, he survives the war. And so he has an essay. Hubner gets an essay from this Rabbi Avram Belsky, son of Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, the famous Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, about him. Fine. So it's a few pages, and the connection to Pesach is as follows. A few years ago, I wrote about the concept, the story behind stealing Daf Yikayman. So here we read as follows. Rav Weintraub used to go to the Seder Weir after his wife was Nifter, and he didn't have children, so he would spend the time in the Seder at Rabbi Yisrael Belsky's house. So he was getting older, and so the author, his name is, Rabbi Avram Belsky, and his sister also. They have been looking for a shidduch for a while. So one Pesach Seder, his sister stole the Afikayman. And the question, from who? This Rav Weintraub. So everyone was wondering, what was the kavanah of the sister? Why did she steal it from him? Then she asked her request. And she said, and Bekitzer, Rav Yisrael Belsky, says to them, ask wisely, you have a great schus over here, because this year was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, as they write in the essay about him over here. Bekitzer, they ask for a shidduch, a bracha for a shidduch for Rav Avram Belsky and her. Okay? And fine. Rav Weintraub gives a bracha, and Lamaisa, they both found their zivug very soon. Okay, so here you have stealing of Zafi Kaiman at Rebelsky's house and a happy happy ending to a story of what happened there. Okay, so this is a whole, you know, nice section. Also, this is not heavy tire. This is anyone can read it. Okay. Lamashal, at one point, through Pilpul Chaverim, which is a lot of times how you might have a great idea, but you discuss with all the different people involved with the project. So Habner reached out to all the different people, and ideas came and clarified. So one idea was the Seder, different Gedolim throughout the Seder night. So Lamashal, recently, there was published almost a year ago, Kuntres HaZachronis, which is Reb Chaim Kanievsky, all the material and all the things that he saw or heard from reliable places about the Chazon Ish throughout all areas. Mamish, an incredible, incredible work with Ha'aris. This is written by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. What about the Chazon? So he took out from there the materials relating to Pesach. How was Pesach, not everything, but a lot of different things, Hanhagas of the Chazon Ish, preparing for the Seder, at the Seder, written by who? Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Chazon Ish Kiyadua didn't have children. Similarly, Reb Shmuel Orbach didn't have children. So he pulled out from Talmidim who were Zeichet to have at the Seder, spend time with him, different than Haggis that they saw before the Seder, at the Seder, and this was put together. Rabbi Avram Chamoy, this is a person, a fascinating person. Rabbi Havner was fascinated with this. So he was a unique person, traveled everywhere. So there was a write-up about him. It turns out he had a wife and child. She died young, or he died very young, and he never forgave himself. He never got married. And he went in some type of galus. Kitzur, he's a fascinating Jew, wrote a ton. So his work on the Leila Seder, on Pesach in general, we pulled out a bunch of different things about the Seder, about him. So again, the write-ups about them, short. Okay, Sarah Schneer, she didn't have any children. So a write-up about her was done, including Torah of hers relating to the Leila Seder, fascinating Musa Shmuz of hers, ideas that she said in her different speeches from the Torah that she left behind. So here you're getting a lady. Kaishal Elio, we reached out to Yid, Rabbi Lior Jacoby, who's written a lot about the Kaishal Elio, the fourth Kais and everything about it, to write a piece relating to it, also tied into our general theme of someone that didn't have children. As we mentioned, Rav Margolis, there's many different materials about him. There's a write-up about him. There's Rav Tavyumi, a Goyin Olam, a beautiful piece from his material. I mentioned the Meshech Chachma. There's beautiful materials of his stories galore from Hasidish stories, Sfaradish stories, Litvish stories. Whatever was possible, people sent, the people that were working with the team, I guess the term was coined, the team, a bunch of different people sent in material. I don't know all the different people that were involved with the team. I was only involved with certain parts, but they produced a beautiful, beautiful work. Rabbi Hubner had to put it all together. He had to wear many hats, some which he has more experience than others, managing it. He worked on it. He had to work on the Torah. He checked over every piece, learning it up, looking it inside, wrote many of the pieces from scratch, editing, and then the coordination of everything. This is a massive headache. And just to conclude, very briefly, is as follows. So the Haggadah, to sum it all up, the Haggadah is full of material for a very wide range of people, of a wide range of Torah, from all types of people, whether it's Litvish, whether it's Sephardi, whether you're Hungarian, whether you're Polish, you're Hasidish, no discrimination. We didn't have come close to being able to publish all from all the, even the people, even one var from all the people, because it would have been endless, let alone all the Geshmak Torah from all the people. But what was done is to have all types of Torah also. So that means is there's stories, there's nice varts of Lamdas, there's halachic sections, which eventually a bunch of about 10, 15 pieces were moved to the back, halacha, in a section called Halacha Nat Lamaisa, stories of Gedolim, and there's Seder with halachas and haggis, and all types of material produced beautifully in this work, as it called it, the Fisher Family Edition, Vagalta Levincha, Legacy Agada. It's being distributed in America, and by Feldheim. It's found in most of the Sfarim stores. I said there's been a lot of talk about it already by the various people. And Eretz Yisrael, there are a few copies at Pomerantz Books, and we could talk much more about it. I have to just mention one last thing, sorry, because obviously I have some connection to this. There's a whole section about, a few pages, about a lady, Sarah Rebetzin, Sarah Rivka Rachaleah. Yes, you heard that right, four names. Horowitz. So Rabbi Hubner found the whole piece, a shaila of hers relating to the Leil HaSeder. She didn't have children, and the Shalom Eishiv and many other people handle with her shaila relating to Pesach. So there's a whole write-up about her etzem shaila. And then, who was this lady? Turns out she didn't have children. So I wrote a whole essay based on the academic literature, Moshe Rossman, a lady, Mrs. Wexler, a professor also worked on her and some others, discussing her, who she was, this tremendous, tremendous learned lady, and to be a Messiah, because just of the uniqueness of this Varth, in a fascinating autobiography that only recently the whole autobiography, whatever remains, was finally put out in a critical edition by Professor Gershon Hundert, called Divrei Bina and Zichronos of Dovber Berkenthal. So he describes when he was young, he was staying at a relative of his, and Kitzer, he was supposed to be getting tutored in the Gemara. He didn't know the Gemara. Shabbos afternoon, the Rav would go rest, and he was supposed to prepare the Gemara. Okay. Sitting at the table was his cousin, the daughter or the sister of this Rav. And basically, she would teach him the Gemara. It was the sister of the Rav. This is Rabitzel Hamburger's sister, actually, which we deal with in this essay. And Kitzer, she would teach him Gemara. She was so well-learned that she taught him the Gemara, and then he would be, when the person woke up, her brother woke up, and he would learn with him. Oh, he knew the Gemara, but he was being taught by a lady, a very, very learned lady, Sarah Rivka Rachaleah Horowitz. So there's a whole write-up about her also in the Sagada that we have to throw out there. So yes, there's even materials of ladies besides, I mentioned earlier, Sarah Schneer, and like, so there's material not only from men, also from women, all types of, in short, all types of Torah, all types of material. If someone looking for something unique, it's a Haggadah, and I apologize for being Mayrich so long.